But the legal path just took Trump back to the truth that I had won the election and he was a loser. Well, so knowing how his mind works now, he had one act left, one desperate act available to him, the violence of January the 6th. And since that day, more than 1,200 people have been charged for their assault on the Capitol. Nearly 900 of them have been convicted or pled guilty. Collectively to date, they have been sentenced to more than 840 years in prison.
That was the Commander-in-Chief Joe Biden boasting on how many people who were in the Capitol, Washington, D.C., which is where most Americans felt they used to be able to go. They were there supporting the president. Some of them went to the Capitol. Many of them were invited inside by Capitol Police. And yet that's not what Joe Biden indicated. He indicated, as he always does, that this is a insurrection and President Trump, you know, caused it. And policemen were killed, which was a lie. But mostly in this moment, I want to emphasize to you how proud he is of what he's accomplished. Now it's actually about 1,400 that have been arrested. 900, he brags, have been convicted or pled guilty, and they're serving up to 840 years in prison, and he's so happy. Well, I want to introduce you to someone today, a young girl. She's not even 30, Felicia Canold. They wanted to put her in prison for 36 years. 36 years. What in the world did this girl do? Well, she went to the Capitol with her younger brother. She talked him into going. They actually met the Proud Boys, or group of them, a small group of them. They had no idea. She's a pretty girl, so I'm guessing the Proud Boys were happy to ask her if they wanted. She wanted to walk with them, and she did. But because of her association with them, they threw the book at her. She's a single mom. She was pregnant at the time. She actually spent several days in solitary confinement in prison in Arizona. And one of the reasons that people plead guilty or plead, you know, is because you have a choice of 36 years in prison or, you know, take this plea and admit you're guilty. And that's what they do. And many times the authorities, the federal authorities, have asked these people to sign like confessions or to admit that they were wrong. The 2020 election was not stolen. President Trump lied to them. They asked them to actually write that and sign it. So this is the kind of confessions. This is like, honestly, this is like a Vietnamese prison camp. The stories I remember from the war, this is what, these are the kinds of things we heard. They made them do this, confess. In fact, John McCain did confess. He did write a confessional. He did rat out people in order to stop the torture. So I'm just saying, it's not quite what President Biden says that it is. And today we're going to hear from Felicia Canold. She'll tell her story, and I think you'll find it compelling. So please stay tuned. I want to remind you, you can write us at sandy@afr.net. You can always send an email. Love to hear from you. You can call us at 662-821-2040. That's 662-821-2040. You know you can listen on any podcast platform, but tell your friends. Some people are not accustomed to listening to podcasts. It's very different for them. So, and I don't think they realize how very easy it is. But if you go to afr.net, you can listen to the podcast. You can go to, if you're a podcaster, you can go to any podcast platform. Or you can go to sandyrios.com. That's our website, and it's really simple to listen to it from there. You can also order the book, my new book, God's Velvet Hammer. It's kind of a one-stop thing, and we invite you to do that. One of the things I write about in my book is I was a young woman in Berlin, Germany, 21 actually, when I moved there. And I was at headquarters. It was called Berlin Brigade. And I needed a piece of paper. I was up to something. And it wasn't my office. I didn't have an office there. But it was an empty office. And I opened a drawer to look for some paper. And there, staring me in the face, were pictures of aborted babies. I had never heard of such a thing. I didn't even understand what abortion really was. I knew it was the death of a baby, but how they did it, what it looked like. And as I pulled those pictures out, it was like a knife in my heart. That is really the birth of my passion to save babies. And that's why I'm so proud to have Preborn as a sponsor. I love what they do. I love that they show the baby in the womb to these moms. And the moms see what I see, only the opposite. The life that they see motivates them not to harm their baby or allow anyone else to do it. The photos that I saw motivated me to fight whoever it is that's tearing babies apart, destroying them in the womb. It's very interesting. It's life. It's God quickening our spirit one way or the other. And so Preborn accomplishes this. They save hundreds of thousands of babies' lives every year. And they do that by showing the moms this very sophisticated ultrasound. And that's what we're all about here. This is our mission on Sandy Reels 24/7. All you have to do is go to preborn.com/Sandy. That's preborn.com/Sandy and make your best donation. Well, I think you're going to enjoy the story. Maybe not enjoy, but you'll certainly learn from it. And you could tell your friends, the people that just don't get it, this is a great story to share. We'll have some time right now with Felicia Canold on this edition of Sandy Rios 24/7.
From American Family Radio, Sandy Rios.
We are not called to be nice. We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
I think the most important thing we need to demonstrate to our children is genuineness, that we actually believe what we say we believe.
A longtime Fox News contributor, Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
Seek justice, not social justice, but God's justice, what's right and what's wrong.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association,
a pro-life radio talk show host.
We've got to say this is the line. Life is sacred.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up, speak up, say something, do something. All right, Sandy Rios with you, and today we have a special guest. She's not a name that you're going to know, at least not now, but this is a young girl with a children who is getting ready to report to prison for being in Washington, D.C. on January the 6th of 2021. We all know about this. I talk about it. I've been talking about it since January the 6th. We've interviewed many people from inside prisons and jails. In the D.C. Gulag, we've interviewed Julie Kelly and all kinds of people involved in it. But every single life that's involved in this is important. And so this morning I wanted you to meet someone else. Her name is Felicia Canold. Again, she has two children, and she is joining us from Arizona. Good morning, Felicia.
Good morning. How are you guys?
Good. We're good. Felicia, what is happening right now? Let's just talk about the now. You are waiting to report to prison, as I understand it. Is that right?
Yeah, so I'm just trying to get as many last detail. There's a lot of things. I have, as a single mama, I kind of have a lot of stuff always on my plate. So trying to sort that as best. I barely manage it kind of alone while I'm here, let alone away for an extended period of time. So I'm just trying to get details, finances, traveling, child care, animal care, home care, all was planned for as best as possible without much of a support system while I'm away.
Where do you have to report?
So I suppose I've tried to find out as much as possible about this, but I suppose they're supposed to send you some, like, legal paperwork saying where to report to and other things, but I haven't ever gotten it since my sentencing. So I just know I have to report prior to April 1st. Don't know where or what. My attorney doesn't know. Everyone just keeps saying you'll receive paperwork. My younger brother was also charged, and he is reporting today to prison, and is his date, and he had not received any paperwork either, so he's just going to go down to our local prison and just show up and see what they say.
How interesting. This is really interesting, isn't it? I mean, that they would be so sloppy about this and then put the onus on you, really, to comply.
Yeah, because if we don't show up, we get in a lot of trouble.
Yeah. All right, and so your sentence, as I understand it, is 45 days and then home confinement. Is that correct?
Correct, yeah. And I was already on home confinement right after my arrest. I was arrested in 2021 at the very beginning of my pregnancy with my youngest. And I was sat in prison for a bit, and then immediately upon release that time was also put on home confinement, ankle monitoring, like 24-hour GPS monitoring. So, but that won't count towards my additional home confinement afterwards.
All right. All right. Well, let's go back in time then. And I tell you, know, what was your life like before you went to the Capitol on January the 6th? What were you doing?
It was pretty peaceful. Well, I did have a major life event in February of 2020, where I got in a severe motor vehicle accident, degloved my face, broke my back, job, home, and vehicle. So I started traveling and doing photography, landscape photography. So I did that. But outside of that, really, I do like homesteading, homeschooling. I'm very mostly peaceful. As much peace as those kind of life things have, there's always something going on the homestead. But
well, yes, and if you got a single mom, always has complications. I was a single mom for many years, so I understand that.
Yeah, there's always something that comes up.
Yeah, yes, and so, but you must have been keeping up with what was going on in the world in spite of your busyness. That's pretty remarkable, I have to tell you. When my kids were small, I don't think I was nearly, well, I know, I didn't have the time to be engaged. So were you following the news? Did you have, were you watching election night? What motivated you to go to the Capitol on January the 6th?
Yeah, so historically, I've never been able to travel, never been able to be engaged. I've always, since I was 15, which is when I had my first son, been working 2, 3, 4 jobs. So after that motor vehicle accident and losing everything, that freed up some time. So that is kind of what got me able to watch and pay attention. And whenever there was a plea for Americans to show up in D.C., I felt as if it was my duty as an American who I didn't have anything else at that time, and I just lost everything. So I was like, well, like I can show up. I can be a voice there. I can help. So
did you go? And so you went with, you talked your little brother in going, and I'm at an article. So it might be right or wrong. He's not in agreement with you politically, right?
And he's really just nonchalant. Doesn't really care. Like he just goes to work, goes home, thinks everything's evil, like there's, which I kind of do agree with, like that there is no right and left. He just doesn't like any of it. But he is a registered Democrat. So we still have a good bond, but we have differences in opinions and stuff, which is great. And a lot of people do have.
So he went out there with you to just as your brother to support you, but not for the cause. And so along the way, okay, first of all, tell me what you saw before anything happened. What was your experience like being there?
Yeah, so there was the first thing that I wish could be taken into, I wish people could just see, was the mass amount of people there and the diversity of people there. That was the first thing that stood out, was that people were there from every country, all walks of life, all for the same mission, kind of heeding warnings, like we came from communism, this is how it starts. And they were literally saying those exact words, many hundreds of thousands of people saying that. But they were still happy. They were just saying, like, you guys need to stand up for your country because it's being taken. So everyone was there, peaceful, happy, good music, singing. It was a really, like, awe-inspiring day.
So somewhere along the way, you came across the Proud Boys. Did you know what the Proud Boys were?
No, because although I was traveling doing photography and I would see newsreels pop up with the riots and like innocent people being killed outside their businesses. So I would see like that kind of stuff going on, but I didn't really get involved. Maybe in passing, heard they're an all-guy group that just hangs out, which whoop-de-doo. When I met them that morning, it was just a few, two or three of them. And they were introduced themselves to me. I walked up to them, shook their hand, said, wow, like, you guys look cool. Introduced themselves by their first name. I don't know anybody, had never been to Washington, D.C., so they were going to go head out elsewhere and asked if I wanted to tag along. And, of course, like, why not? I don't have any plans. So
Was your brother still with you? Yeah, so, yeah, okay. So the story is that you hung out with them, and tell me this. What is the government charging you with? What are they saying that you are guilty of on that day?
So what was my, like, a list of charges, or what was my, final charge?
Well, your final charge. Let's just do that. The final charge. What did they find you guilty of that you're having to serve time for?
Yeah, so the final charge was obstruction of law enforcement or aiding and abetting.
All right. So,
which everyone, they said, was guilty of just by being there. Our presence was obstructing law enforcement from doing their job.
And your brother was also charged, who was just there to be with you, who didn't care about what was going on, right?
Yeah. So he got a little bit of a lesser sentence.
Did you guys get, when you went back home, did you guys get raided by the FBI, or how did you find out that you were in trouble?
Yeah, so we returned home and had not a clue, because I had not broken anything. I had not committed any acts of violence. So I didn't think I would be in trouble. Of course, immediately that day, prior to people even having been gone, the news had blasted, all news stations had blasted their select clips of footage and their narrative. That was already pre-planned, which was crazy, because to just walk out of the door and already see it on national television, all of these clips that you don't even know how they obtained, telling a completely different story than what you witnessed when you were personally there, was really shocking. So we left the next day, came back home, resumed our normal lives. My youngest baby is artificial insemination, so for the last 3 to 6 years, I've in one way or another been saving up and planning for him. So between the time we got back from D.C., before we were arrested and raided, I had the procedure for that done. And then I think it was February 10th, the FBI showed up at my door in a pre-dawn raid, surrounding my entire house and blocking off my whole street with undercover vehicles, with their ARs and body armor and shields, took me out, raided my house, seized an extensive list of random stuff, my diaries, photography equipment, coins, if I had any, I had gold coins, gold, silver coins, and then a little Proud Boy coin. The people in the Proud Boys that day were never mean. I never saw any violence. They were very nice gentlemen to me. Like, I didn't see anything wrong with walking next to them. So then they arrested me, took me to their facility, attempted to interrogate me, but I declined, and they still, upon arrest and handcuffing me, never told me why they were there, what my charges were, never showed a warrant, never said what was going on. They just said, we'll talk about that later, every time I asked. So then, wanting to question me, I kind of was like, I don't know, but like, you guys came like 20 deep with guns and shields, which seems insane to me. So I kind of don't want to answer your questions because I don't know what's going on. Like, this is not okay. So then they took me to prison where I was processed, and
You were in solitary confinement for, I don't know, how long? I don't even know. A couple of weeks, yeah. then you're really, and you've got a son at home, don't you? Do you have a 13-year-old at the time? Now, were you pregnant yet, Felicia, at this time?
Yes. So it was, the fact that I even got pregnant was a miracle, because there are certain injections or medications and stuff that you are recommended to take by the doctor, but I had declined all of those because it was just our first time trying. And it was, my birthday is in the end of February, so I said, well, let's do this, and it will be my 27th birthday present to myself. And if it doesn't work, then we'll do pills, and then we'll do injections. But I just want to try it natural as possible first. So the procedure was done. I remember sitting in the back of the FBI vehicle, just, like, bewildered. Like, what if I'm, actually do get pregnant? And just kind of tried to meditate on it, and found out in prison that I was pregnant. So got home on home confinement, and I didn't really tell anybody for the first 4 or 5 months, maybe 6, because I was so terrified. There was excessive amount of stress and trauma and stuff malnutrition.
So you were in home confinement, and you had trouble being able to get food, taking care of your kids, working because you weren't able to leave. So that's all part of your story. And you did really.
Yeah, and I live in a very rural spot. So if you're confined to a house in the city, I'm not saying it wouldn't be any less traumatic, but it might be a little bit more plausible to get food or resources. But whenever you live an hour away from the nearest small city, it was
terrible.
Not a good year.
All right, so Felicia, one thing it looks to me, it doesn't say it in the article, but you must have ended up in D.C. with a judge there, right?
Yeah, so they refused to transfer the case to local jurisdiction unless I pled guilty on all charges they were charging me for, which was 36 years in prison, 2 felonies and 5 misdemeanors. So I, of course, didn't want to plead guilty to all those, the case remained in D.C. with people who are not peers, very biased, and don't care about facts or evidence, just have, I don't know what it is, but they have their
malice toward J6ers,
no matter what. Exact word.
All right, so then you, so did you spend any time in the D.C. jail?
I'm sorry, you cut out.
Did you spend any time in the D.C. jail?
No, I did not. I was in, since I was only in there for a few weeks, usually it takes a few months to be transferred to other prisons. So I was just driven a few cities away to an Arizona federal prison.
Okay. All right. So then you've been, I'm guessing you've been on home confinement now. Now you're waiting to report to prison for 45 days. Now, the irony, the interesting thing to me, Felicia, because I haven't heard this from any J6er, is that the judge actually had mercy on you. Even though this doesn't feel merciful, it doesn't feel certainly ridiculous. He let you have 45 days in prison as opposed to whatever else they were going to give you. Is that right?
Yeah, over 6 months.
Oh, okay. All right. So there's some mercy there, but although you've suffered so much. And so now what are you doing with your kids? What are you going to do with them?
Yeah, so I don't have family or support system for myself or them. So I found a family across the country that slightly aligns and is very loving and caring. It's very hard to try and find someone, you know, as a mother, that there is no biological way anybody else could care for your child more than you would biologically. You're wired to do it. So it's hard to find someone to watch. And I have a lot of PTSD, especially surrounding the baby, due to being in prison, finding out. I didn't know it was going to get out of prison, so I thought I would birth in prison and he'd be ripped away. I thought that when I gave birth, when I finally did get out, they would also take him away. So I'm quite attached to him, and he is quite attached to me, and he's still breastfeeding and that sort of thing. So that's been a process since I was sentenced to try and attempt to wean him so that the transition without me will be a bit smoother, but I did find a family. Go ahead.
That'll take that. And then you mentioned in the article that she's actually has small children herself. They don't have a lot of resources, and she's still breastfeeding.
Yeah, they
so it's
don't.
Very,
and I don't know about many cool. families well off, but they don't. They're barely getting by, too. So she has all of the love and care, but not the finances. So that's where I'm trying to really step up. I need to, A, transport him there and back, and B, support him while he's there and back. And I would like to be able to support her a bit, like, hey, like, if you need coffees in the morning, like, please get it, because watching a small child is not, her children are a bit older, slightly more self-sufficient, but he is not. He's not. So yeah. Watching yep. a small child every day, day in and day yeah. out, requires a sense of severe self-control, especially whenever you don't have this baby since it was born. You're just jumping right into it.
Yeah,
it's
amazing.
It's going to be a lot.
I'd say that's a gift from God to you. But of course,
yes,
you make the
is.
Point,
and
practically
I know,
speaking.
I've known this family. They reached out to me while I was pregnant.
Yeah.
Well, so they're amazing people.
Okay, let me ask you. The Patriot Freedom Project has helped you with baby clothing and some money for your fund for your attorney. But would that be a place where people could help you, Patriot Freedom Project?
So they reached out to me three years ago now when I was on that home confinement and pregnant. And I had made an Amazon wish list while I was at home. So they did purchase some baby clothes off of there. And then upon, I had extensive troubles and battles finding an attorney that would even try and fight for me, because most of them set you up.
Right. Well, no, they do. They give you public defenders that are your enemies, or you can't afford. I know this. I recognize this, Felicia. We talk about this.
So they donated to my final attorney a couple of years ago.
Okay.
And he took a highly discounted rate, but they made it possible for me to even get him.
All right. But my question now is, how could people help you now? That's what I'm asking.
So I have a Give, Send, Go that was set up. And that's the best route.
Okay. All right.
Especially due to the time restraints of, I have 2 weeks until I'm leaving. I know it's April 1st, but I'm hoping to get approved to leave from my home in 2 weeks to be able to go to the other family's house and help him adjust. Because it's honestly, I don't know if mamas who breastfeed their babies and are with their children. I lost both of my jobs I did have after sentencing, but the jobs I did have were only overnight ER medicine jobs. So
the only time
I've ever been away from them.
Yeah, no, people understand. People understand. I understand. I breastfed two of my children. People understand. If you don't have a husband, that's a very big deal under this circumstance. Where's your 13-year-old going? Or now he's 15.
Yeah, so he's able to go. So his father is slightly in the picture recently. So unideally, but necessarily, he's going to go with him full time.
All right. So your Give, Send, Go account is a place where people can help you. You have 45 days in prison. And then after that, home confinement again, did you say?
Yes. Yeah. I'll be confined back to my home again.
For how long?
So they gave 3 months instead of about a year this time. So that's unideal, but it is better than what it historically has been. And then after I'm off that home confinement, I'm going to be able, I've seen since being terminated due to my charges after sentencing, but finding a job when you're a felon, especially now my whole education and career field is not.
You work in veterinary medicine. You're not a doctor, but you have a special skill. I understand that. So keep in touch with us. If something else happens you want us to know about, let us know, and I'll tell my listeners. And I also, just for our own, we'd like to know what happens to you. So God bless you. You know, you never know what God's going to do, Felicia. You just never know.
Yeah, and there's the Give, Send, Go. It's hard to find, but if you type in the givesendgo.com/Felicia123. I hope it pops up.
Okay. givesendgo.com/Felicia123. That's Felicia Canoe. Felicia, God bless you and keep you and give you peace and strength as you go through this yet another ordeal Thank you for joining us and telling us your story this morning. This is Sandy Rios on Sandy Rios 24/7.
This is Sandy Rios 24/7 on American Family Radio.
Well, you've heard a lot about saving babies on this show, and that's because it's important to me personally. And let me just be frank with you. We must save them. That's why we partnered with Preborn, the nation's leader in introducing mothers with unplanned pregnancies to their babies. And once she hears that heartbeat and sees that precious life growing inside of her, she is twice as likely to choose life. And, of course, that is a real miracle right there, a miracle of the heart. If you want to help us, it's $28 per ultrasound. And go to preborn.com/Sandy. That's preborn.com/Sandy. Hi, this is Sandy Rios, and I miss you in the mornings. But now I'm hosting a podcast, Sandy Rios 24/7, which is available at afr.net and sandyrios.com. Well, I finally finished that book. God's Velvet Hammer chronicles God's call in my life from a small town girl to Berlin, Germany, Radio Moscow to North Korea to Washington, D.C. I talk about Sasha Girl. That was my disabled daughter. I talk about I've Got the Music in Me. That's a chapter on my music life. Lost in India and Other Adventures is hilarious. You won't want to miss it. I talk about my sweetheart, The Blessing of Bruce. And then a mysterious chapter called My Green Face and the End of It All. Oh, I think you'll enjoy it. Like the Apostle Paul, these are my shipwrecks and my adventures. All for Christ and His kingdom. God's Velvet Hammer is available wherever books are sold. And remember, Sandy Rios 24/7 is available at afr.net and sandyrios.com.
3 years ago tomorrow, we saw with our own eyes the violent mob storm the United States Capitol. It was almost in disbelief as you first turned on the television. For the first time in our history, insurrectionists had come to stop the peaceful transfer of power in America. First time. Smashing windows, shattering doors, attacking the police. Outside, gallows were erected as the MAGA crowd chanted, "Hang Mike Pence." Inside, they hunted for Speaker Pelosi. The House was chanting as they marched through and smashed windows, "Where's Nancy?" Over 140 police officers were injured. Jill and I attended the funeral of police officers who died as a result of the events of that day. Because of Donald Trump's lies, they died because these lies brought a mob to Washington. He promised it would be wild, and it was. He told the crowd to fight like hell, and all hell was unleashed. He promised he would write them. Everything they did, he would be side by side with them. Then, as usual, he left the dirty work to others. He retreated to the White House. As America was attacked from within, Donald Trump watched on TV in a private small dining room off the Oval Office. The entire nation watched in horror. The whole world watched in disbelief. And Trump did nothing. Members of his staff, members of his family, Republican leaders who were under attack at that very moment, pled with him, act, call off the mob. Imagine had he gone out and said, stop. And still, Trump did nothing.
That's not true. None of that is true. That's just not true. I could take the next hour disputing and proving to you all of the things. First of all, the gallows was nobody. They never found anyone who took responsibility for that gallows. And as far as I know, not a single person yelled, "Hang Mike Pence." That was a myth. And because now we are seeing the J6 was a lot like the Russian collusion. A lot of different stories, a lot of twistings, a lot of things happened that they say didn't happen. A lot of things did not happen that they say happened. Like policemen killed. No policemen were killed. No policemen were killed. No, none, nada. I'll tell you who was killed. Ashley Babbitt was shot by a Capitol Police officer with a really horrible record. He has had a record of using his gun inappropriately. Someone was stealing his car in D.C. because that's where he lives. and he shot at the person in the car standing on the sidewalk. That's just one incident. He's pretty trigger happy, and he got away with murder because Ashley wasn't. There's a lot more to her story, but this is just lies. He tells lies, and this is the lie that they have penned on not just Donald Trump, but on Americans who love this country and went. And I want to give you an example. You just heard Felicia's story, but I want to tell you another story. This is from a listener. Her name is Susan Sills. I'm going to give her a name because she gave it. She said, "My son Jeffrey Sills is a J6er who the FBI raided my home and arrested during the early hours of June 21st, 2021. He was held without bond due to being a threat to society, even though he has no criminal record. March of 2023, he was sentenced to 52 months and is now serving his time in Loretto, Pennsylvania. He's been incarcerated the entire time waiting for sentencing." And by the way, this was last fall when this came. "What Mrs. Rios has stated concerning the mistreatment of the guys is very true. Jeff and other J6ers were originally housed in the Northern Neck Regional Jail located in Warsaw, Virginia. The superintendent, Mr. Hall, made sure these guys were treated horrible. The food that was given them to all the inmates was not edible. Bugs, roaches were found in the food all the time. Rotten food was even served. The guys had to rely on junk food from the canteen for nourishment, which cost money. Yes, Jeff's medicine was withheld multiple times. He also had MRSA that was ongoing without giving the correct medical treatment. The jail doctor stated that he was malnourished due to the lack of nutrition in the facility. The guys and I were blessed that the Northern Neck Patriots got involved and started attending the jail board meetings asking questions. And, of course, Mr. Hall denied everything. I could go on about Jeff and many of the other J6ers and what they've gone through, but not enough space. Please feel free to visit Jeff's Give Sin Go page for his journey and updates. Christian Patriot Jeffrey Sills is the address. I must say that Jeff's and our family's faith in God is what has gotten us through this journey. God has blessed us in so many ways through prayers, financially. Our attorney was $70,000 plus with funds coming from my husband. It's from his retirement. Then at the end, we found out he was working with the prosecutors. The attorney they paid $70,000 plus to from their retirement was working with the prosecutors. But Jeff and I have met so many new friends during these past few years. Jeff knows God has been watching over him and has plans for him when his sentence is up in February 2025. May God continue to bless you. Susan, I'm sorry, they didn't come directly to me. It was sent to me by, it's a long story, but I beautiful expression of her grief. These are the stories. These are the people, and this is how they've been treated. I want to give you some practical information. We talked about it during the show. For Felicia, if you would like to help her, go to givesingo.com/Felicia123, and that's F-E-L-I-C-I-A, 123. The other thing is, for news about these men and women, it's J6 Patriot News, J6 Patriot News. And that's also the place where you can get those wonderful books that are chronicling what's happening. The American Gulag Chronicles. There's part one, Letters from Prison. A lot of those were in the early stages when I used to talk about this right up front. And many of you went to patriotmailproject.com and wrote to prisoners. I thank you for that. And they still need those letters. They're still there. Some of them have been incarcerated for almost 3 years now. Patriotmailproject.com, if you would like to write them. The other American Gulag Chronicle is The Art of Confinement, and it talks about how these guys have learned to adapt to these horrible conditions, and it's just words of encouragement from them to us. It's just absolutely amazing. So those are some resources. I hope you can take advantage of all of them. Meanwhile, we need to pray, 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 and we need to act. A lot of these guys are in prisons nearby many of you, and you can find out where they are at J6 Patriot News. And then go visit them or help their families. You know, I always say, do something, okay? Say something, do something. You can't do everything. We can't save them all, but we can help. we can help. Okay, so I think I've run out of words for today. I hope you benefited from the story that Felicia just told us. It's her story. Very serious story, and she needs your help too, and your prayers. I think she really needs your prayers. So thanks for listening, by the way. You know you can call us at 662-821-2040, or you can write at sandy@afr.net. You can listen to the show at sandyrios.com. That's really easy. Or you can go to any podcast platform, especially afr.net, and find us there. All right. Thank you for listening to today's edition of Sandy Rios 24/7.